Became. rejoice in the Lord for those who give their God-given talents right back unto the Lord. Amen. Let us turn for a little while this morning to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And let's go down to verse 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And I want to speak for just a little while on God's wisdom. And you'll find out the word understanding, it really translates to discretion, reason, wisdom. And what I want to see this morning, that God's understanding then and God's wisdom are actually identical. And so if his understanding is infinite, and the word infinite means large or innumerable, and it simply means it really can't be searched out, and yet that's exactly what we are to try and do every day of our lives, search out such wisdom. If his understanding is infinite, his wisdom is also infinite, and that is easy to understand because his wisdom is in Christ. And so I want to go into that wisdom just a little bit this morning on this first Sunday of the month, this Communion Sunday. It fit quite well here with this service. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians 1. And verse 30. But of him, and that means but of God. He is responsible. He has orchestrated all of these things. He has put his Son to the front in everything, as we're going to discover, and we do discover more and more as we go on and study the scripture. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Notice, he is made unto us. Christ is made unto us. It is a process. People try to make this thing oftentimes just an immediate thing or just a one-time thing, but he is made unto us wisdom. And then this little word "and" is better translated "even," because these next three words actually describe the wisdom in Christ that he's talking about. Righteousness, sanctification, redemption. We'll see those in depth here in just a moment. But for now, if you'll back up a little bit, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. And we read this. For that in the wisdom of God, and again, it is according to God's wisdom, according to God's understanding, according to God's design. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And the wisdom here is by natural wisdom. Men could not search out God by their natural thinking and wisdom and inclinations and intents at all. And so the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. And the preaching would be the preaching of God's word. That's the only place we're going to find the true wisdom of God. And yet many people do not value this word the way that we absolutely must. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And that is the key, is faith. Men have to believe in order to receive anything from God or any of these positive results or demonstrations, manifestations of God's word. Verse 22, the Jews require a sign. God created the Jew. He also created the Gentile, and he knows what is in both of them. And so the Jews require a sign. The Greeks, or the Gentiles, seek after wisdom. Verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified. And we find that Christ crucified meets the demand of both Jew and Gentile. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But verse 24. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Paul says, we preach the power of God and the wisdom of God. And again, that wisdom is in Christ Jesus. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And if you think about God being foolish in any way, it's just beyond our comprehension to even think such a thing. But this is the way that the Apostle Paul expressed it here. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God, and again, it is just incomprehensible to think weakness of God in any manner. But again, Paul expresses it this way. Foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. No way that any man can measure up to God or be compared with him or become equal to him. Find that Satan tried that. I will be like the Most High God. And of course, he did not accomplish that. Came nowhere near that, but he has since led other men, mankind, down the same path that he went. Verse 26, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But notice this, God has chosen the foolish things of the world. And if there's anything that you and I must abide by, it is the choice of God. We have to agree with his choices in our lives. And so God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He has chosen the weak things of the world. If you are here this morning and you feel such weakness and insufficiency and need, you are in a good place because this is what God has chosen. He has done it on purpose in order that all things might glorify God and his Son, Jesus. And so, he's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And then he's chosen the base things, those things that are just rejected and despised. God has chosen those things which are despised. Yea, God hath chosen, and things which are not. Things that are not are things that must be taken by faith. And God has chosen those to bring to naught the things that are. Why did he do it? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And that is absolutely true. Men try. They try to set up their accomplishments. They boast in all of their activities and humanitarian ways and the ways that they minister and that they're so beneficial to others. But God has said that no flesh should glory in his presence. Verse 30, you are, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. I love the way that Paul starts out this verse, but. It means there's a change. It means we don't have to follow in those paths that are laid out here previously. We can take that path which is in Christ Jesus. That's the path that will last. That is God's wisdom that we're talking about. Of him are you in Christ Jesus. And notice again, who of God. That is, Christ is of God, and he is made unto us wisdom. And again, this little word and should be even, because these words describe the wisdom of God. First, righteousness. That is applied to our spirit. And this is something that all believers need to get hold of, because the moment we believe, God counts us. And I emphasize the word God. It doesn't make any difference what men think. God says we are righteous in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he gave us the righteousness of Christ. We are identified by the righteousness of Christ. We no longer cling to our own self-righteousness or anything we could do. We are found in Christ with his righteousness. That's the only righteousness that God has ever approved or ever will approve, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can be as righteous as Jesus. Some people just run backwards at that. But so says the scripture, and we must believe that God can make it true in my life. Make it personal, that God can make me as righteous as Christ is. Why? Because it's the same righteousness. Produces the same thing in me that it did in Jesus. And so, who of God is made unto us. You didn't want to enlarge on the little word made. It doesn't happen in a moment of time. It is a process that every one of us go through, and there may be many more failures than there are successes, but we learn from all of those things. I remember a statement that my dad made, told me growing up, do something even if it's wrong. He meant by that, if you do what's wrong, you can learn from it. If you don't do anything, you don't do anything. Nothing happens. So do something, even if it's wrong, he said. We learn from those errors, and we learn them because God has designed it so. And so Christ, God, he of God is made in us wisdom, even righteousness, applying to the Spirit. Sanctification. That applies to the soul. The soul is the seat of our affections. That's where that our affections, our desires come into play. Everything that I give you, everything that your soul desires, we read in another place in Scripture. And so the soul is that part of us that, as I say again, the seat of our affections. This is where our desire comes from. And so, sanctification, this is a process, because our desires must be changed. They were not right whenever we were born. They're not automatically made right when we're born again. It is a process that each of us go through where that our desires change. And indeed, they are directed toward God and his Christ. This wisdom, Christ himself, of whom we are speaking today. And so he has made unto us sanctification as applying to our soul and our desire. And then redemption. Redemption, especially, we are redeemed spirit, soul, and body. But the redemption here especially speaks of body. That is the last part of us that will be made glorious. And that will be a glory, a body like unto his body of glory. I can tell you that all are not going to share in the same glory. The glory that this body reveals will be according to how much of Christ we have appropriated in our lives. The more of Christ, we are changed from glory to glory. The more of Christ that we have appropriated and embraced in our own lives, that's the glory that will be revealed in this body when it is glorified. And we are looking for that body to be glorified. Verse 31, God did it this way, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's what God designed. All glory is to be brought unto the Lord, not to self, not to other men, not to someone to impress them or to lift them up on a pedestal or to acknowledge them or manifest them. Our role today is that Christ should be glorified. As we find here, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. all glory must be given unto the Lord. All right, that's as far as we go this morning. Shall we sing?